So wouldn't it be nice to have some type of limited duration therapy for the older patient? And that's where ASCO 2019 comes in, and we have the CLL14 trial. So what the CLL14 trial did was it took sort of our old standby, chlorambucil obinutuzumab, which had been previously shown to be better than chlorambucil rituximab or chlorambucil alone. So we have chlorambucil obinutuzumab as our standard arm in the CLL14 trial, and it is compared against venetoclax and obinutuzumab. And, you know, of course, chlorambucil is kind of easy to beat up on, so, you know, you could argue that. But there was a significant improvement with venetoclax and obinutuzumab over the chlorambucil arm, and this is a limited duration therapy. So there's 6 months of therapy followed by an additional 6 month extension. But overall, this is a limited duration therapy that was very well tolerated, was incredibly active. There were a number of complete remissions. And, you know, I think this is definitely going to be a challenge to the indefinite ibrutinib.
So before I ask you what you're actually doing in your practice, just to sort of round it out, in terms of this concept of limited duration novel therapy, one of the things you see in a lot of these trials is evaluation of MRD assessment. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about how that's factoring in and whether you think it has a role now or in the immediate future?
Yeah, I think in CLL, MRD status is going to have an important role in determining how long people need therapy and whether or not a particular therapy can be stopped. So we know that with ibrutinib, for example, overall response rates are high, but complete response rates are on the order of about 20%. With MRD, it's even lower than that. Whereas for venetoclax, you can get somewhere between 40 and 50% MRD negativity. With the obinutuzumab plus venetoclax, it's even higher than that and probably closer to like 60% MRD negativity. So that gives you more confidence that you can stop the treatment and not worry so much about an immediate or a high-risk relapse.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the other therapies that have been looked at for limited duration, and particularly ibrutinib venetoclax?
Yeah, so there's also the ILLUMINATE trial, which looks at ibrutinib and rituximab. And there's also an ibrutinib and venetoclax study that's ongoing as well. So right now, you asked what I do for my patients. And, you know, again, these conversations have become much longer and I think more exciting, but I have the discussion for the non-17p deleted, non-p53 mutated patients. I have the discussion between, it used to be limited duration BR, which I guess still has to be there for the older patient just as a point of conversation, but I don't do that as much. Ibrutinib, which is indefinite. I was talking about obinutuzumab and chlorambucil as a limited duration therapy, and now that's going to be replaced by venetoclax obinutuzumab. So those are the three options that I present to patients. And I think the venetoclax obinutuzumab will become my go-to. I mean, this just got, you know, presented 2 weeks ago, so I haven't had a chance to really have that discussion, but I would lean towards using that at this point. Now, the one downside, and I know others have probably raised this, is that many people have thought about venetoclax as a good salvage, that if ibrutinib stops working, they can go to venetoclax. Whereas if you use it up front, then what do you do? You know, can ibrutinib salvage a venetoclax failure or not? And we don't have that data that's out there. I think that's a theoretical concern. I would just say I would like to use the best treatment available that is going to be well-tolerated, cost-effective, and limited duration. Those are some of the things that I value for my patients.